Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. I asked for the mic just instead of having to hold it all the time. But I sure appreciate this opportunity, yes, Brother Knowles. You know, it's Word of God, and God's probably my number one topic. And bass fishing might be below that. My family and wife, then bass fishing. I do can get going. I can overtalk. I know I do. Yeah, you know something, but you don't stop.
Yeah.
That's me. So my wife said I'm gonna stop tonight. So she already warned me when I left. 7:50. You gotta be 7:50. And I said, well, Paul talked so long, man fell asleep.
Yeah.
Fell out the window. And so, but really though, when somebody's really feeding you, you kind of don't mind the extra time. But if it's flesh or self, you're kind of like,
yeah,
kids got to go to school in the morning. So, amen, I thank God for this time, and I appreciate Brother Knowles, because it seems like it should be common, but it's not, to find somebody that likes to just talk about the Word.
Right.
Word, because you got to feast off of everybody. Everybody in here that has or even a little bit of faith or a little bit of experience of God or got the Holy Ghost, you have something you can say to me to edify me. You don't have to be no theologian.
Right.
You can talk about your experience when you was fifth grade, woke up in the middle of the night, and God spoke to you, and share something and edify. So, pulpit ministry is for the edification of the church body as a whole, but we get together, it should be edifying one another, because everybody in this room has something to say. Some of us might just take longer saying it, but we all have something to say. So I want to talk tonight about a very common thing that, how many people have been in the apostolic church for years? Okay, everybody has. And so, or mostly everybody. And so, what's one thing that we've heard over and over and over and over again? Is it up there already?
You can go.
Repent, be baptized, and be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
So tonight I'm going to go over a subject that you've heard over and over and over, but in my experience, and I'm talking for myself, if somebody asked me, why did the apostles baptize in Jesus' name? I had a very shallow response.
Right.
Very superficial. And now I'm learning as I'm getting older and digging a little further that what Christ has done, we haven't even scratched the surface of it yet.
Right.
We haven't even got an inch into the dirt yet. I'm talking about me. Maybe you all have, but I'm just talking about me as far as a greater understanding of the work of Jesus Christ. So tonight we're going to talk about something you've heard over and over, and that's baptism in Jesus' name.
Right.
Okay? The topic tonight is, why did the apostles baptize in Jesus' name?
Right.
If anybody wants not be shy, can you give me a reason that you've heard that they baptized in Jesus' name?
Obviously for remission of sins.
Remission of sins. Anything else? I'll talk for you. It's not a wrong or right answer. The motive is here for us to dig deeper into the work of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And so, one of the other things you heard is you put on Christ. Well, years ago, I said those things and didn't have a clue what that meant.
Yeah.
And so tonight we're going to talk about why did the apostles baptize in Jesus' name, and hopefully expand our knowledge of the work of Jesus Christ in that ordinance of water baptism. What does that mean? Have any of you guys been in church for a long time and you messed up so long you wish you can go back and get baptized and start all over again? I felt that. I mean, I thought that, But let me tell you something. If you went back and start all over again, you still have some things later on that you wish you can go back and start all over again. But let me tell you something, the work of Jesus Christ that was done to you when you came to Christ and was baptized into Christ is just as fresh as the day you got baptized 20, 30 years ago.
Right.
And so we're going to start off with the knowledge of Christ. It may seem a little awkward how I'm going with this, but hopefully it'll tie together. And so we're going to talk about the importance of the knowledge of Christ. And the first scripture will be 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. I'll go there. I was going to use the screen. All right, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. It says, for after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm not going to read the rest, but I just want to harp on the part where it says, how did they escape the pollutions of the world?
Knowledge.
Through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we cannot stress enough of getting a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
1 Peter 1, verse 2. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, of Jesus our Lord. How many want peace?
Yes.
In this world, we need peace, right?
Amen.
How many know you need grace?
Amen.
How are we going to get it? How's it going to be multiplied? Through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Multiplied onto you. See, God doesn't give more grace. We just wake up to it and receive more of it. God doesn't give you more peace. You just finally woke up and accepted it. It's there. And it's multiplied to us through when we gain the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And when I say the knowledge of Jesus Christ, okay, we're up there now. Okay. When I say the knowledge of Jesus Christ, I do not mean just, you know, Godhead, deity, you know, Trinity, oneness, that kind of stuff. I am referring to his work.
Right.
What did Jesus Christ's work do for me? And what did it do for you? You might ask, well, what's that got to do with water baptism? We're getting there. And then 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So we grow in grace. And what else do we grow in?
Yeah.
Right. So our Christian walk and how far we want to go with this is based off of how much knowledge of Jesus Christ we gain. And I'm not talking about you got to be a theologian, Greek, Hebrew. I'm not talking about that kind of knowledge. I'm talking about that you believe and you're aware of what Jesus Christ has done for you personally. So now we're going to go on to baptism. And hopefully this first part will connect why I did it later on. Baptize unto Moses. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 to 2. And it says, moreover, brethren, would not that you should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea.
Yes.
So cloud, I'm not going to get into the cloud part, but that was a covering. They were covered the whole time. I'm going to focus on the baptized unto Moses. Okay. So they were, if we go back to the history, we know the history. They were slaves in Egypt, right? They were bound, right? They were in a situation that they could not save themselves. So God sent them a Savior, right? And so they had to listen to this Savior, and then they had to be baptized onto this Savior. So now they had nothing of themselves that they can offer. Slavery, you have nothing, right? You don't control nothing. Somebody has to free you. So they were under the Egyptians' taskmaster hands. Pharaoh, right, had a grip on them, and they could not save themselves. But Christ, but God sent a Christ, a Savior, to come save them. And so it says they were baptized unto Moses. So onto means to be dedicated, consecrated, identify with, to initiate into. So they were baptized from slavery onto Moses. Okay? So now, Moses became their mediator of the covenant that God was bringing them into. Okay? Everything flowed through Moses. They could not do nothing of themselves. It was just a matter of whether they believed Moses and followed him, or if they just stayed in slavery. That was your two options. There was no other escape. We read earlier what? That they escaped the pollutions of the world through what? Through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So they were able to escape the pollutions of the state that they were in by the knowledge of Moses, following of Moses, and obeying Moses, and being baptized unto Moses. I don't know why I took my glasses off, because I am getting old. Moses' name wasn't special. Okay? Now, Moses' name didn't do the work. It was the God that sent Moses that did the work. He was special because of who he was and the work that he done. That's what made Moses special. I'm going to go and liken it to the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus Christ is not magic words. They're not special in and of itself. Why know why Jesus Christ's name is so special? Because there's a man behind that name. Moses' name wasn't special, but what was special about him, that he was a man sent by God to be their Savior. And when they were baptized onto that man and everything that he represented it. Baptized onto Christ. Now we're going to get to the good stuff. When you ever notice when you read the Bible, when you read the Old Testament, it seems kind of dead. And when you read the New Testament, you feel more alive. There's a reason why. Because when you was under Moses, he was a mediator, but the only thing that he can minister was sin and death. Yeah. Right? Right? The Old Covenant was the law of sin and what? Yeah. Death. The law says you sin, you must what? Die. That's all Moses did for you, is point out how bad you were. Yeah. So when you read the law, I mean, you know you're supposed to read the whole Bible, but man, you start getting to Deuteronomy and Leviticus and all these places, there's like no life in it. Because Moses is dead, the old covenant is gone. We got a new mediator, a new Savior. And he's not bringing sin and death. He's bringing forgiveness and life. So baptized unto Christ. Galatians 3:27, very familiar scripture. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have what? Put on Christ. So once again, just like they were baptized onto Moses, they were leaving something and they were going to somewhere. They were leaving Egypt and going somewhere. And no matter how much you didn't like Moses, he was the only ticket out. He was the only way. There was no other way to get out of Egypt other than to follow Moses. So for many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. So, it's more than just a name. When we put on Jesus Christ, we put on everything and all the attributes of who he is and his work. To me, it's good to know that my salvation is not built on me. So, what is true of him is true of us. Hebrews 2:11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of what?
One.
The work of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ is so powerful that it made heathen sinners holy. The blood of Jesus Christ is so powerful that it doesn't go by what you've done. The blood of Jesus Christ is so powerful that if all the world got on their knees and called on him at one time, he could fill them all the whole world with his spirit. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus Christ is. So he that sanctified and the one sanctified are what? One. So what is true of him is true of us. How many of y'all ever heard, you know, we've heard it over and over, that you're the members of Christ, right? Right? Think about that. How many of you know that you're not perfect? Right? We say that to butter it up, that there's still stuff in our life we got to overcome, whether it's anger, lust, you know, jealousy, bitterness. You know, some people got more outright things. But the blood of Jesus Christ is so powerful, it can free a man from any besetting sin in his life. No matter how long you've been in it, no matter how deep it is, no matter how strong it is, all they had to do was follow Moses and be baptized onto him and keep following him. You know why they fell in the wilderness? Because they stopped believing Moses and the testimony that God had towards Moses. And that's why it's so important to gain a knowledge of Jesus Christ and never lose your faith in Jesus Christ and his work and the testimony God has given us towards Jesus Christ and towards us. Most people backslide because they begin to lose faith in the work of Jesus Christ. We begin to look at us instead of who we were baptized onto. And I know everybody, I know I've done it. I mean, there's times in my life you feel like you on one leg, one string, and one more battle comes and I'm going over. But that's, you know why we get that from? Because we're losing faith in the one we were baptized onto. We don't want to say it, but that's what it is. They didn't have to produce anything. It wasn't built on them. It was built on the Savior that he provided. Our salvation, our walk, everything is dependent upon Jesus Christ, and if we believe him and we follow him. I'm not good enough. Well, that's why we got a Savior. It's not built on us. That's why we're baptized onto him. And everything about him becomes us. He that sanctified and the one sanctified are what? One. If you're the members of Christ, the Bible says it talks about being built up into a holy temple. All of us that have been in church for a long time heard a lot about holiness, 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 holiness. I cannot take one step of righteousness or holiness without being in Jesus Christ. Everything flows from my position in him. See, it's more than just water baptism. It's more than an ordinance that happened to you 20, 30 years ago. You were baptized onto somebody. You were baptized onto a Savior. I'm going to say this, and if you want to challenge me after church, I will not be offended because I like discussing things. This is going to take faith. It's going to take faith to receive it. Everybody in here that's baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, you are as holy as Jesus is. I didn't say you're living holy as he is. I didn't say there's not things we got to grow to, but we work from our place in our Savior. And we walk from that place that we were baptized onto. He that is sanctified and the one sanctified are what? Right. We've always been told you're the temple of the Holy Ghost, right? Is this temple holy? I'm telling you, if our eyes, even as I say this, I want to walk in this. It's like if our eyes could be open to the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf, we would not walk around with downcast eyes. We would get up every morning and say, today's the day that I walk in Jesus. Today's the day that I might overcome that besetting sin. Today's the day that my family member might be healed. Today's the day that I'm going to get victory. I'm going to get over that bitterness. I'm going to overcome these things. Not because I'm so special, but because I was baptized unto him. And what's true of him is true of me. You want a little more proof of that about the holy part? And then we'll get back on the thing. You remember the fornicators in Corinth? Right? What did Paul tell them? He said, how do you take the members of Christ and what? Join it to a harlot. Now, years ago, I would have been like, brother, you're a sinner. You're cracking hell wide open, and you're, and you know, and that. But you know, Paul, that he didn't say that, did he? He says, what are you doing? Know you not that your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost? Know you not that you're taking the members of Christ and joining to a harlot? What is he saying? Christ has made you holy, and you are partaking of an unholy act. Do you know who you are? Do you know what Christ has done for you? Do you know his finished work and what that done on your behalf, and who does that make you? Because once you realize who Jesus is, then you find out who you are in him. Once you find out what his work has done, then you find out what you can do. This is the answer to overcoming sin, not license to sin. Because I'm telling you, if your eyes can be open to the love of Jesus Christ and what he's done, and you still desire sin, when you know somebody loves you to that point, you're going to do something to disappoint them and hurt them? Onto him, baptized onto somebody. That's why I say your baptism in Jesus' name is not some work that happened 30 years ago and is done, and now you're struggling hoping you make it in. The work of Jesus Christ is just as fresh as it happened on the day of, day of Pentecost, but on Calvary when he died. When he rose from the grave, the work of Jesus Christ is just as fresh. It's never lost its power. The work of Jesus has never gone nowhere. We're just stumbling across it and grasping it and letting it come into our lives. So we go and by him. I'm going to go over a few things. I'm going to do a time check because I lose track of time real quick. Okay, I got to hurry. So we're going to go over a few things about the work of Jesus Christ. And my hope in this is that we'll look at baptism, the name of Jesus, a little different. That it's a present help. So we're going to go over by him, through him, in him. And when you read these things, then these are the things that you have access to and things that you are. 2 Corinthians 5:18, and we're going to kind of go quick because it's a lot. All things are of God who has reconciled us to himself by who?
Jesus.
Who are we baptized onto?
Jesus.
So then what are we? We're reconciled. But I'm not perfect yet. It's his work. I still got things in my life. It's his work. This is how we overcome those things. We work from this, not to it, because we're baptized unto the man, Jesus Christ, our Savior. You know that guy had scripture? To wit, God was in Christ, reconciled the world unto himself. What was he? What is one thing he wasn't doing? Imputing their trespasses against him. Right? That's what it says. But he was reconciled. So before they even repented, God's reconciliation work was already done. While they were still trespassing, God was already reconciled them. It was done. It was over.
Yes.
He didn't wait for them to believe, okay, now I'm going to reconcile you. This is the work of Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ, we are what? Reconciled. Next one is Ephesians 1:5, an adoption of children. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by who? Can you see how this relates to water baptism? Because you're being baptized onto somebody. And so then we want to learn everything about that somebody so that we know what we possess and what we have access to by Jesus Christ. Next one. How many people know they need a lot of grace? For by one man's death reigned one. Who's that death that reigned? Death? What's the man's offense? It was Adam, right? Did the people under Adam have a choice? No. Death reigned. Much more, they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, to reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. If the work of Adam had that much power to wreak that much havoc, Apostle Paul is saying so much more will our last Adam wreak righteousness.
Yeah.
Will our last righteousness, he'll wreak righteousness He'll rain hope. So sometimes we're in the last Adam under his righteousness, but we're still holding on to that first Adam. We still thinking fig leaves are going to work. We're still hiding under religion. There's times in my life where I was faking it. I'm not saying I was out there sinning, pornography, don't think worse. You know, I'm not saying out there, but there's times where I wasn't really walking with God. I wasn't really growing. I wasn't flourishing. But I'm going to church. Praise the Lord, bro. Yeah. Anybody done that?
Oh, yeah.
Anybody done that where you just churchy? Right. Well, through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we should be reigning in abundant grace. If that don't make you want to get up and pray in the morning, you know, if the work of Jesus Christ don't want to make you live right, nothing else will. If having the knowledge of what Jesus did doesn't make you want to serve him and give up your sins, nothing else, nothing a church can do. We can't come up with enough programs. We can't preach enough fire. We can't condemn you enough to make you live right. If the abundance of grace that reigns by Jesus Christ, by that one man, does not make you want to serve him, nothing else will. Baptize onto Christ. We have put on Christ. So we're reconciled. We got abundance of grace. Next one, 4:19. Supply our needs by Jesus Christ. That's Philippians 4:19. And we'll skip on down. Fruits of righteousness. Philippians 1:1. Fruits of righteousness by Jesus Christ, it says. Everything that has to do with righteousness comes by Jesus Christ. Yes. Any righteousness we have, it comes because we follow him. You know, there's a certain point we got to stop trying to be saved. And what I mean by that is, if you're drowning, and if you don't know how to swim, you got to let the lifeguard save you. Okay? So when I say that, I don't mean like, well, what are you talking about? Stop being saved. I've been striving to be saved for 30 years. I'm not going to stop now. You know? But what I'm talking about, we get to the point to where we let the gospel of Jesus Christ do the work in us. All we do is follow. Moses, you're going that way. That's where I'm going. Sometimes you can try too hard. You ever notice that? God to do the work in us. If we got abundance of grace, we can ask God to give us the grace to overcome anything in our life, and we keep asking him and asking him. Don't go by what you feel. Don't go by what's going on. You keep going by the faith of Jesus Christ and the work of Jesus Christ, and you stand on it until the day you die.
Amen.
Because anything else is just, we're just spinning our wheels. So, spiritual sacrifices, we're going to go over 1 Peter 2:5. If you can put that one up there, brother, real quick. Ye also are lively stones, right? Are built up in a spiritual house. In other words, he made us what? He made us holy. He made us righteous. He made us a holy temple. We're not trying to get holy. We're trying to live holy. We're trying to let that live through us. But he made us holy. A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. There is not a sacrifice that we can give that it can be acceptable to God outside of the work of Jesus Christ. Every sacrifice that a man could ever give means nothing if it did not come by Jesus Christ. Wow, what a Savior. What a Savior. In whom... We're going to go over some in whom, in him, and in the beloved. 2 Corinthians 5:21. And it says, 2 Corinthians 5:21 talks about being made the righteousness of God. He that knew no sin became sin, that we can be made the righteousness of God in him. He that knew no sin became sin that we could be made the righteousness of God. We didn't create it. He made it. He's the creator. We are the creation. And just like the people in Egypt, they could not do it themselves. Moses made it for them. We're made. For he hath made him to be sin for us. He was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Where at? In him. We can't add to this, folks.
Right.
Pray 10 hours tomorrow. Doesn't make you any more righteous than when you started praying.
That's right.
Because the righteousness is in him.
Right.
But what that will do is maybe make it where you begin to live out that righteousness.
Right.
You begin to become what you are.
Right.
Become what you are. It's hard to live something if you don't think you're it.
Uh-huh.
If you don't think you're a child of God, it's going to be hard to live it. So Colossians 2:10 talks about we are complete in him. Scholars say, and getting to Hebrew and Greek and all that stuff, it's actually supposed to mean fullness. In other words, the fullness in him. In other words, everything you need is in him. He provided it all. In whom? These are some of my favorite scriptures right here. Ephesians 3:12 says we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Who? Where do we have boldness? In our ability to pray all night? Where do we have our boldness at? In whom? Because we got the knowledge of Christ. We grow in his knowledge. We know what he did. So then I can stand in his work and have confidence that I can receive help in the time of need. This all sounds really good, doesn't it? But when it comes to life, it's a little hard to rest in what God said. It is. It's hard to have confidence because we got all of that stuff out there, and then we got this stuff in here. So it takes our eyes off of whom we should have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. See, remember, water baptism. You're leaving something, and you're going on to somebody. This kind of just shuts down the name of Jesus debate in baptism, doesn't it?
Right.
You want to be baptized in any other name but his? If this is what it brings?
Yeah, right.
If this is what it does, if this is what Jesus do, are you going to pick another name to be baptized in? We're reconciled by him. Well, now I'm going to baptize another way. I'm made the righteousness of God in him. He was made sin for me so that I can be righteous. I can be holy. I can be, you know, sanctified. Well, I'm picking another name to go get baptized in. It's not going to work for me. Oh, Lord. In whom we have, the next one is Ephesians 1:7. Where are we at? It says, Ephesians 1:7. It says, in whom we have redemption. What do we have? Through his blood. What else do we have? Forgiveness of sins. According to the riches of his grace. Where is forgiveness? In whom? You never, ever have to work to try to get God to forgive you. It's already in him. And we're baptized onto him. So we're seeking forgiveness of sin, not so much to try to get God to, you know, if I look real pitiful and sorry and God will feel sorry for me and forgive me, I'm going to God for forgiveness of sin so it can get out of me. So I can get healing. I'm not trying to get my Father to love me. Okay? You that got children, when they're young, they need your forgiveness. When they're old, they'll need yours. I mean, you'll need theirs. So there's never a time that a father will ever look at his son with anything other than what's good for him. There's never a time that our God will ever look at you, a child of God, and want to destroy you. Because in whom we have what? Forgiveness of sin. So we're not trying to make our Father forgive his children. What we want to do is, because we have the knowledge of Christ, he loved us, we love him, so we're going to ask for forgiveness and not try to get him to do it, because forgiveness is in Christ. We're trying to do it because I don't want this in me. I don't want this thing that doesn't give God glory in me. Is that all right? It doesn't matter if you come to the altar and cry 10 years and fast until your belly button pop out your backside or anything like that. You're not going to change God. And you're not going to change the work of Christ. I mean, can you imagine your children coming up to you? Dad, oh, God, I'm just so hungry. Oh, my stomach's hurting. I haven't ate since this morning. Flop out and cry. Oh, Dad, will you give me my needs? Oh, God, please. Yeah. If your child did that, what do? You'd be like,
right.
It's like the parable of the prodigal, all that son, all that I have.
Yeah.
I'm not withholding it from you. You sons are just messed up.
Yeah.
You're not believing me. Your sons are messed up. You're just not believing me. We just struggle with these things. We struggle with forgiveness of sin and our self-worth and who we are. We talk about I hear a lot about identity crisis in church, right? You've heard of it. Everybody got identity. Well, this is the answer. The work of Jesus Christ and the knowledge of what he did is the answer to our identity crisis. Sorry, I'm not trying to preach, but I guess I'm preaching a little bit. Sorry. All right, Ephesians 1:6. Man, this is good stuff right here. Ephesians 1:6. I got like a few minutes left. To the praise of the glory of his what? Grace. Where he has made us. What he made us? There's nothing else more you can do, brothers and sisters, to be accepted by God than the work of Jesus Christ. Are we our own saviors? And I say that, but as soon as we mess up, what do? We demote ourselves. I'm not good enough. How many of you ever been in church for a long time and you figure, well, at the end of the road, I just might not make it. But I'm going to hold on because I can't do heat. That's the mentality. That is not the will of God for our lives. The will of God in our lives is to accept the work of Jesus Christ and know that we're reconciled, to know that we're forgiven, to know that we've been adopted as children of God, and to know that we are accepted in the beloved. If he's beloved, what are we? We're beloved. You know, when Jesus came up out the water and the voice came out of heaven and it says, this is my son in whom I well please. You know, he wasn't saying that for Jesus. Jesus already knew who he was. That was said for us. Because all sacrifices, everything comes by Jesus Christ. If he's beloved, we're beloved. The question is, are we going to yield to it, believe it, and walk in it, and live it out? There's nothing worse than a child that has access to a lot of things his dad has, but his life goes shipwreck at the same time that he has access to everything his father has. And that's really what's happening to most people when they backslide or they fail or you fall, you're in a muddy grudge, you're condemning yourself, is that you are got access to the Father because the Father hasn't changed, he hasn't gone nowhere. We are just demoting ourselves instead of taking it back to the work of Jesus Christ and say, wait a minute, I am accepted in the beloved. That has been the struggle of the prodigal son, to believe he was accepted back. You know? Accepted. Where are we accepted at? In the beloved. Two more and then we're done. I know there's a lot. We by him. 1 Corinthians 8:6. And it says, and these are the sons, Chronicles? 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry. Remember, none of that stuff's in the Old Testament, you know, about being accepted and made righteous. As you sin, we're going to hang you high and dry. You know, that's what's in the Old Testament. That's why you got to be careful when you read the Old Testament and judge God by the Old Testament. Because the Bible says Moses brought law, Jesus brought grace and truth. If you really want to know the Father, you've got to go through the face of Jesus Christ, not Moses. See, because law always has God leaving. You remember when Moses was on the thing, he wanted to see God, and God came by and put his hand over him? And when he opened his eye, all he saw was God leaving? That's what sin mentality does. It always approaches your God as leaving you. So you got to be careful when you judge God by the Old Testament, by Moses and the law and all that stuff. Jesus Christ changed up, and I'm going to show you the true revelation of the Father. But unto us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, we in him, right? We in him, one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all things, and we by him. All things. This is covenant talk right here. This doesn't mean that God's going to, doesn't mean a new different paycheck tomorrow or a new car next week. This is talking about spiritual things of our place in him. He has sustained everything that we need in him. We by him. We exist by him. Our faith exists by him. Our walk exists by him. Everything is by him. Anything that's good in you from righteousness is by him. Still want to argue about the baptism in Jesus' name? All right, last one. I got 4 minutes. 1 Corinthians 1, 26-30. For ye, seeing your calling, brethren, how that many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. One of the reasons why the Jews had such a hard time is because they would not recognize that they need a Savior. The ones that get the victory of Jesus Christ, it wasn't because they were so strong. They just believed and accepted it. God said it. I believe it. I'm standing on it. All those other folks, the nobles and all that, they're too high and mighty to admit that they need a Savior. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. Who are the ones that got the greatest victories with Christ when he was on there? Rank sinners, right? It didn't matter who you are, what you did, caught in adultery. It didn't matter what you did. You came to Christ and you believed and you followed. You got it. You got victory. You got, you got deliverance. So if you feel despised, you feel downcast, you feel spiritually bankrupt, if you're in him, you're never bankrupt. You're just not. You got to go back to taking deposits back out. And the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ. Here we go. You in Christ. Who of God is made unto. Remember, we're baptized onto somebody. And that means that's something to us. Now here we're getting what being in Christ does for us. Who of God is made unto us what? With righteousness. Sanctification, that's holiness. You can't become any holier than Jesus. And redemption. Unto us, he is those things. And it's not up to us to try to add to it. You just obey. You follow. It's one of the hardest things because in the natural realm, we are so used to producing on our own. I'm going to get mine. I don't need help from nobody. I'm going to work 40 hours and you're going to pay me 40 hours. You pay me 35, I'm knocking on HR's desks. You miss me 5 hours. So we're used to do good, get good. Do bad, get bad. But God reversed it. He's done us good. Before we even started doing good. He took us out the bad before we even thought about being out the bad. Man, what a Savior. just what a savior. The knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I hope, I think this is kind of maybe a different way of tying in about water baptism unto Christ. But I hope we look now that water baptism is not just, forgiveness of sins and that's it. Now, I've been baptized unto the man. He's made me righteous. He's made me holy. He's gave me new life. He saved me. There's another scripture that says salvation by what? Jesus Christ. And for the old saints that's been in this for a while, it's still fresh as the day you came. The work of Jesus Christ is still fresh. It's just fresh. This faith, this work of Jesus Christ has put us in it for the long haul. And there's no such thing that we have to burn out, be depressed. I'm talking about the ones that have been in it for a while now. Because after a while, you start, you look back to things you would have done different, and you start what? Condemning yourself. Oh, I forgot to read that one scripture that I'm getting down, Brother Knowles. There's one thing that you will not find in Christ. All those beautiful things, I didn't even read, you can't even read all in one night, all the beautiful things that being in Christ has done for us. But there's one thing you will not find. Therefore, there is no condemnation. How many times you've heard that? But you really got to believe that. There is no condemnation to them that start doing perfect. If we're going to make it all the way in with fresh faith, it's going to be because of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. I think I'm right at 8 for the nose.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It's been my experience that people who are in Christ that still deal with condemnation, it's because there's something unconfessed somewhere in your relationship with God that has to be dealt with. The root of condemnation is unconfessed sin. It's got to be made right. But the Lord's good. Good Bible study. I got a feeling that may be a part two. That kind of felt like you didn't get through. You just kind of stopped. And the scripture says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And I think he did a good job painting a picture of water baptism in Jesus' name is so much more. Of course, all of that's the consequences of the remitting of sins. When your sins are remitted, you get all of that. We did a study on holiness here. I don't know. It's been 4, 5, 6 years ago. It's been a while back. There's nothing you can do to make yourself holy. Do you need to cover up? Yeah. Do you need to be modest? Yeah. But there's some twisted thinking in some of our churches that, if your skirt's to your ankles, but yours is to here, to your knees, well, the girl with the ankles is holier. Get out of here. You really believe that? You think God's ever nudged one of the angels and said, boy, them folks are holy down there. Look at what they're wearing. Now, you need to be modest. But holiness is rooted in the election process of God. When you come through the birthing canal of salvation and you take on that name, at that point, you're holy. Everything he selected was holy. The Jews were holy because he chose them out. He said, it wasn't because you was anything special. I just chose you out. Even the utensils in the book of Daniel that Nebuchadnezzar took when he invaded Jerusalem. And, when his grandson Belshazzar took the vessels and poured wine in them. Well, they were holy vessels dedicated to Jehovah. And once they poured the wine in there, that was a big mistake. Because those vessels were different than any other vessels in the world. They had been dedicated on an altar to Jehovah. And once that happened, the handwriting showed up on the wall. And, of course, Cyrus was on his way to destroy the Babylonian kingdom. And so I understand that it's in the election process of God that makes us holy tonight. But I'm so thankful we got a name that's been exalted. Amen. And everything you need is in that name. And God's not going to change his plan. It don't matter what the world does. It don't matter what society does. It don't matter what culture does. God is not going to change. You know what happened to Moses? He got upset because he saw an Egyptian beating one of his brothers. So he rose up and murdered a guy. Well, he fled for 40 years and went to Midian. And so his brethren rejected him. Well, you know what God did? God didn't change his mind. 40 years later, when he was 80, God sent the same man right back. And he said, I'm not changing my mind because God don't do that. He said, the one that you didn't want is going to be the one that's going to get you out of here. And so God didn't change his mind. 40 years later, when Moses was old and feeble and weak, God sent him back to be a deliverer. And the same with Jesus Christ, a typology of Christ. God's not changing anything. We got to buy into and sell out to what God's doing and his work of salvation in our life. Good job, my friend. God bless you. Give him a hand clap. I enjoyed the study. Amen. We'll get him back up here again at some point. Did a wonderful, wonderful job tonight. Be sure to greet him and go home tonight and rest in the fact that everything we need is in Christ. Amen. And I think he did a wonderful job illustrating that, and I'm just excited what the Lord's doing. Thank you, my friend. God bless you. You did a good job tonight. And we'll do it again. I was looking at his wife a couple of times. She was smiling. I said, well, he's doing good then. You all know how a preacher's doing. You look at his wife. His wife will tell you everything about him. She was back there just grinning and smiling. I said, okay, he's doing good then. Amen. I've told you before, if I go to a visiting church and I don't know the preacher, I look at his wife. If she's over there balancing the checkbook and playing on her phone, he ain't got nothing to say to me. Because she not buying into what he's saying, but your wife, she'll help you out, you know. Amen. And so, but we enjoyed it, my friend. God bless you. Appreciate your walk with God. And that's what we all need to, we need to be striving to walk with the Lord. Amen. That's where it's at. That's where the benefits are. That's where the blessings are. Amen. That's where the fullness of everything that God wants to do in my life is at. It's when we get up and we walk with him. Anybody want to be baptized any other way than in the name of Jesus Christ? Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to dismiss. Would you stand? And we'll have our ushers just, well, we don't need to wait on nobody, but if you have an offering or a tithe, you can place it in the back tonight. Anybody have anything they want to say or add to the service before we dismiss? Amen. All right. All right. Be sure to shake his hand and thank him for the word that he gave us tonight. I enjoyed it. Gracious Father, you're so good to us. Lord, we love you. We honor your presence. We thank you for the word that we heard. It strengthened me already. It's challenged me. I thank you for it. I'm going to chew on it and let it do more and strengthen me in my walk with God. Let it rest in the hearts of everybody that's here tonight. Let it find good ground. Let it strengthen us in our relationship with you. And let it open our eyes and to see that there's so much more to the name of Jesus than just what we think, but it is the doorway to a storehouse of God's riches and God's blessings in our life. Lord, be with us as we travel home tonight on wet roads. Keep your hand on our vehicles. Keep us safe. We love you. We honor your presence. And thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. You are dismissed. Greet somebody in Jesus' name.